Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's Lance Zierlein and Eric Layton. Eric is live from Los Angeles, a professional actor who is also a professional Houston sports fan. And that included an opportunity to come to a Rockets game this year and shoot the opening shot. And one of the guys who got to watch him shoot that shot was the Houston Rockets' own general manager, Daryl Morey, who joins us right now. Daryl, you know, look, Deshaun Watson missed the first shot, I think, if I remember correctly. Eric Layton made his shot.
He's made his shot a bunch of times in his career.
He shot a shot and made it. I've seen his wife. He does shoot his shots. He
did. Is it like 5:30 in L.A.? He's a true friend to you, Lance.
Eric, is it 5:30 there, or is it different?
It's 5:35. You're right.
Hey,
how are you, Daryl?
Good morning,
Eric. Eric, tell him how you shot your shot yesterday at Soho House, and Chris Pratt blocked it.
Daryl, I got big time by Chris Pratt last night at Soho House. It wasn't pretty.
So disappointed.
It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, Eric had a table there. They were getting set up, and then all of a sudden, Chris Pratt came in, and the table wasn't available anymore.
Got to represent Houston a little better there, Eric.
I know. If there was a Soho House in Houston, I would not get bumped. I know that. And let me tell you who would not bump me, Lance.
No, I would not bump you. Trust me, I would not be bumping you at all. Carmelo might be able to bump you now that he's a Houston Rocket. And Daryl, this is a guy that you were after. And, you know, I understood it in 2014. That was always a rumor. You never said it out loud, but that was always the rumor, and anytime I hear something from Woj or Zach Lowe or some of these guys, I pay attention. And I got it. This time around, it's a much different scenario. Instead of paying them max dollars, which is what you would have had to have done back then as a free agent, it's a $2.4 million deal. Look, I don't think any of us are under the impression that he's going to be a better defender than Trevor Ariza. Or some kind of great rebounder. We know who he is and what he is, and at $2.4 million in a one-year deal, there's not a lot of risk right there. How do you view him now in 2018 as opposed to 14? How has it changed your courtship and where you perceive him?
He has been a good rebounder, actually. I think it's pretty straightforward. I think he fits with our group really well. We've got a group of really talented guys who are hungry for a ring, you know, frankly, and that's had a good track record in NBA history of getting a bunch of guys together who haven't won the ring yet but have been talented players throughout their career and only have one thing left to focus on. And, you know, you look at Boston, you look at Miami, you look at teams like that, and you know, we like gathering USA basketball players, and we like guys who are hungry, and Carmelo's both those things.
So, Daryl, obviously, ring is at the forefront of your mind, and that's what everybody's playing for right now, and everybody's working hard to get. You said comments yesterday that were, you know, kind of more controversial than I thought necessarily they should have been. But you talked about LeBron being, you know, the best ever by a bit of a margin. Yet he's sitting under Jordan in terms of rings. So, you know, if rings below, are that important.
Below Robert Horry, too. So.
Below Robert Horry.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Big Shot Rob, trust me. I'll put Big Shot Rob up there, man. I mean, I love Rob.
But there's a big difference, though, between George's rings and Robert Horry's rings, though.
There is. So, I mean, if rings are the Holy Grail there, then, you know, how do you put LeBron above him?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually surprised that I ended up getting so much. It was a bit of a throwaway comment in a long interview with Dan Patrick about Carmelo. Yeah, I don't know if I want to go too much more into it, but just look at you essentially look at a guy's ability to take a team from where they would be without them to where they are with them, and you know his you look at his teams in Cleveland. They made the finals. Went from 60 wins to 20 wins when he left. You look at his ability to obviously win championships in Miami. The team he took to the title in Cleveland was one that really probably didn't have much of a business winning the title, except for his impact. So, you know, that's sort of what we do for a living. And you look at that over a career, he's already on a career path that's of extreme longevity of producing at a high level, and it's become, yeah, like I said, it's become a bit of a margin. So people can believe whoever is the best, but I was asked to, you know, sort of who analytically is the best at this point, and the way we look at things, we'd have LeBron ahead. So.
You know, it's funny you say analytically, and there's Eric and I were talking about this yesterday. Basketball, and you recognize this, Daryl, it's so hard to compare Jordan's era versus the era we're in now, because it's changed so drastically in terms of the perception of which shots you want to take and things like that. It's interesting, as you're talking about this, I'm really thinking Carmelo Anthony is kind of an old school player. Like, he would have fit in the Bernard King mold easily in the 80s and into the 90s. And now he's on a 2018 philosophy team. He plays in the new era NBA. How does he fit in the new era of NBA in the way that math 3 is greater than 2? Because that's not typically what his game has been.
Yeah, I think a lot of players are, you know, we look for skill sets. And Lance, I know you're a scout for football primarily. And, right. You know, there's two things you look at. There's production, but you also look at skill set. And Carmelo has a skill set of his ability to score in different ways. And it's not a negative when you can score in different ways. Now, yeah, some of those ways, and this was true with Chris Paul as well, you can look at as maybe less efficient when you break down the modern game. But that doesn't mean that you should ding them because they have that skill. So it's our coaching staff's job and the players' job to basically mix and match this to end up a winning formula, both in terms of the rotation of the players we use and also the sets we use and things like that. And we've had Coach D'Antoni's had a long history of getting the most out of players, and we feel like this will be another example.
Yeah, and look, I have had some issues with some of the other moves. I don't think you're 100%. I think you're a really good general manager, and I've been wrong on a lot of them. I was right on the Steve Francis one, but that was several years ago.
Step 2 when we brought him back.
Yeah, Steve Francis comeback thing, which also didn't, I don't think, cost the team much money. And the Carmelo thing doesn't cost the team a lot of money either. But a lot of times it ends up working out and I end up being wrong, which I'm glad, I'm happy for. The one thing that I do think is that I think, and you would probably acknowledge this, you collect good players and they have a better chance of winning. That's great. The unfortunate thing is some of these guys, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, now Carmelo, have had recent histories of, you know, they're not exactly the most durable guys. How much of a concern is that to you?
Yeah, it sort of is, right? I mean, to beat Golden State, we've got to take these smart risks of players, and we did that a bunch with Carmelo and Michael Carter-Williams and even James Ennis, who hasn't had a big chance to have a bigger role. We try to take these smart risks and, you know, injury. If you're looking at the set of risks you can take with a player, I generally like to take the injury risk. And the reason is I'd rather have the more talented guy who might get injured, especially when you're chasing a great team, a great, great team like Golden State, than the guy with lesser skill but is more durable. The reality is, to beat Golden State, we're going to need to have a lot of great players on the floor, and frankly, you know, work really hard to make sure that that team is as healthy as possible. And we've had, you know, our medical staff has had a good history of keeping guys on the floor. Obviously, we had the Chris Paul injury at the end of last year, but most of the year we managed through our injuries really well.
So you mentioned Golden State there. Obviously, they are, you know, they're who you're chasing. There's no doubt about that. Is there anybody else in the West, i.e. the Lakers, now that with the LeBron acquisition, that changes that?
Yeah, I think the West is as tough as I've seen in a long time. I remember the year we had our 22-game winning streak. I think the entire West was like 10 games over 500 or something. So I've seen the West tough, but this year it looks tough. I mean, Oklahoma City's going to be extremely tough. I think Utah's going to be tough. The Lakers, just off the top of my head, along with Golden State, those teams look very strong to me, the ones I just mentioned.
Yeah, the West, and then, you know, you're not even mentioning the team that I think is just really sneaky tough. You beat them last year, but I think Dennis Lindsay's Utah Jazz, they're not going to be a lot of fun for anyone to play. I'm not sure that they have enough high-end talent to get past the three teams we're talking about, but I think Utah makes the West not very fun either for a lot of you guys.
Yeah, no, I mentioned Utah for a reason. They're a young team up and coming. To your point, Dennis has really managed them well. Quinn Snyder is one of the better up-and-coming coaches in the league, so... we got them in five games. I was frankly surprised by that. I thought that might be a six-gamer, and I was hoping it wouldn't have to go seven. And obviously, we're happy to get past them. They're an extremely good team. Their defense is probably the best in the league, and you know that's always, as you know, Lance, that's a good place to start, having the best defense.
When Duke drafted Grayson Allen, I was so tempted to text Dennis and just say, "Really? I mean, did you really just do that, Dennis? Are you just
trolling? I'll let you talk about that.
Are you just trolling everybody in basketball ever by doing that?" Daryl Morey joins us right now, general manager for your Houston Rockets. You got Chris Paul back, a 4-year deal. There have been rumors about 5-year. You know, you're taking calculated risk. You understand that 4 years, Chris Paul is going to be, what, 37 years old, I think, at about $40 million. So that's, you know, one of the things you have to do. You're an expert at
well, I think, you know, if you look at the history, actually, Hall of Fame point guards age really well. And, you know, Chris is actually not Hall of Fame. He's like, if you read Bill Simmons' book, like he's in like the next upper levels of the Hall of Fame and his pyramid Hall of Fame. So,
yeah.
So yeah, we feel good actually about how he looks over the next 4 years. And, yeah, that was not a hard decision. People tried to make it a hard decision, but that one was not hard.
But you say it's not a hard decision, but you also have been the master of not getting roped into any kind of cap difficulty. You've always been able to maneuver every offseason, which I don't know how you pull that off, because studying this in different sports, it's very rare to see your ability to do that. But when you have a guy who's getting into the other side of 35 and you're going to be making in the $40 million range – You did do something you haven't really done, which is you got a lot of money committed down the road. You usually like to leave yourself an out. It doesn't look like you have as many financial outs now with Clint and James. Not that they're older players, but that's a lot of money committed to three different guys.
No, that's right. But we feel comfortable with that risk, and we're at that phase, you know, where we're like a hamstring away from winning the title last year, where you should trade from the future and push your chips to the middle, and I think we've done it in a way that, you know, we haven't had to trade all that much from the future. Like, we still have all our first-round picks going forward. So that gives us flexibility to improve again. And to what I just said, the future money we have committed, we feel very comfortable with. It's not like we're, you know, sitting on, you know, future money that we think is negative to the team.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, not that you really think that my opinion matters much, but you know, when you have that opportunity to go for the ring, you, at some point you have to start to vacate future and look right now and what can we do. You look at a guy, you talked about Chris Paul and how much money he's getting. Chris seems like the type of guy, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but the type of guy that can take a roster like this, a Carmelo, a Harden, guys who are not wallflowers, and just become a leader, not only obviously on the court with the ball, but really away from the court and kind of manage these guys in a way that a coach couldn't. Do you see that with Chris?
Yeah, that absolutely. He's one of the best I've seen, and we've had some great leaders over the years at the Rockets and even when I was at the Celtics. But he obviously is the head of the players' union for a reason. He's a natural guy that everyone likes to follow and would definitely take a hill with him. Just to take from your career, Eric, in terms of, I think you've seen, up close and personal how that's portrayed. And Chris would make a good sergeant in some platoon somewhere.
I got to be just at one lunch, and you were there, Daryl, last year, and I walked out of there, and I was like, wow. Everything that I ever thought about Chris was even better hearing him talk, and I understood having that captain there and his commitment and love. You know, the one thing that is more important than anything in the world in every sport is finding somebody who loves that sport, has high basketball character, football character, baseball character. Do you have a fundamental love of the sport? Because you're more likely to do the things you have to do. And I don't know that I've ever met a player who loves his sport more than Chris Paul loves basketball.
Yeah, he's constantly watching, constantly asking about other players, on other teams. He watches college basketball. I mean, to your point, I mean, he's dedicated his life to this. And I think if you read, there's been some great profiles written on him and his love of the game. And that's been a theme, to your point, Lance. I mean, you know this in football really well as well. Like, that's been a big theme of pretty much all our players on this team. PJ Tucker, lives and breathes basketball. It really does matter that someone loves the sport. And, because to your point, they'll put the work in and they'll, when they have marginal free time, they're thinking about their craft. They're not thinking about something else.
Yeah. And I did some time with Joel Blank, who used to work with the Rockets. And we were talking about, we were talking about Kelvin Cato, and he goes, I always got along with Cato. He said, and Cato told me straight up, I don't love basketball. I don't even like it that much, but it's a means to an end to feed my family and all this stuff. And I was just thinking, boy, I'm so glad he got like a 7-year deal then for a guy who doesn't love basketball. You don't really give out all that 6 and 7 year contract stuff. When you came in and when Jeff Van Gundy came in, luckily some of that stuff ended, and you did have a team that loved basketball. I mean, there's no doubt about that with the roster that you put together yesterday.
Well, there are a lot of bigs that frankly end up in basketball
because they're
an athletic big guy. Yeah. And, they sort of maybe talk themselves into loving it. But, most guards actually tend to love it because you can't make it as a, Chris is 6 feet tall and you can't really make it as a guard without loving the game. And I've seen a few exceptions, but it's super rare. Most guards are sort of living and breathing it.
Eric, one thing I've learned about Hollywood, most of the guys there are point guards. You got a small collection of guys out there. A lot of point guards out there in Hollywood.
I'm shocked when we go to LA games, Eric, just how tiny everyone is. The camera work is extremely impressive from the Hollywood blockbusters all the way to the adult films.
Oh yeah, well, I can only speak to one of those categories. I can't speak to both, but I can tell you that angles do make quite the difference. I guess angles work in both of those categories as well, but yeah, angles make a difference. And it's funny, a lot of my friends who are in the business who are, 6'2", 6'3", a lot of times they have trouble, because for that reason, they have trouble casting, around them, cause there's not as many, quality actors necessarily that are that big. So
who are the taller ones? Conan? I've heard Conan's tall.
Conan O'Brien?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tall, but he sits behind a desk. He's just a goofball, Gotcha. But I mean, like, you look at it, but it works both ways. Like, for instance, Kiefer Sutherland, who's probably 5'8".
What?
5'9", maybe.
I thought that guy was 6 foot.
No, sir. I saw him on ice skates and for a hockey game, and he was maybe 5'11 on ice skates. So
I never guessed that.
He, but that's because they cast around him. So in other words, if you're over 5'10, you couldn't play against him in 24.
Daryl, we can never get on. We can't get on anything as an extra at all. We're too tall.
That would be fun. A fun concept where you can make sure the other team can't be over 5'6" when you're playing. we're gonna play an exhibition against you, but only if you're the 5'5" and under team.
Right.
Well, you did a whole musical about that.
It was a more complex, nuanced musical.
but size did matter. Size was a point.
But size played a factor in it.
Yes, absolutely.
There is a subtext of mathematics in there as well. So I'm not saying there weren't layers, Daryl. There were definitely layers. Well, Daryl, we appreciate you joining us. Best of luck when camp opens up. We definitely want to talk to you again because we didn't get into guys like James Ennis. I mean, there's some you always find these players who people think are going to be ancillary players who become much bigger factors. And by the way, congrats! I don't know how you plucked Gerald Green out of nowhere, complete obscurity to get what you got out of him, but really a great story with him getting another contract with the team. That was a pretty cool story, especially after he was helping during the hurricane.
We're excited to have him back. And is this a regular spot with Eric? You gotta have Eric as a regular.
When Granato's gone, this is the second time he's done it. He's holed up in Bill Simmons' old house. That's where he lives, actually, in Bill Simmons' old house. And he does a podcast, right? Or he does the broadcast right from an iPad.
Is that in Malibu?
In Hancock Park in Hollywood.
When Page Two was like orangish yellow before Bill really hit a big.
That's right.
When he was writing for Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, right?
That's exactly what it was.
It was post Kimmel, pre Page Two.
Nice. Very good. How's your new show going, Eric? Seems like it's doing real well.
Show's doing good. You mean Six? Six got canceled, Maury. Thanks, man.
Ask me if we won the title last year, then we'll be even.
Yeah,
how'd game seven go?
Yeah,
that was close. Almost made it.
How'd the three-pointers go in Game 7? I missed it. What happened there? See, now you're even. Now, 0 for 27. You couldn't do that at a dice table. That almost seems impossible. But anyway. All right, now that you guys are taking shots at each other. And by the way, lastly, Daryl, I thought you said you were going to send your daughter out there for Eric to keep an eye on out at USC, and all of a sudden she goes to the other coast to NYU.
She pulled a last-minute switch to NYU, so yeah, no. I get to drag her shit up the stairs at NYU here in a few days. I can't wait. So.
Wait till she calls you in January and wants to know what the heck's going on.
I know.
It's going to be brutal.
Well, that's gonna do it for we got break it right here.
Daryl,
thanks for giving us a long visit here. We appreciate it, and we'll do it before the season kicks off as well. We gotta get you in studio again if you can.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. That's Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets. Yeah, he dropped an S-bomb and delved in here.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.